top of. It's still open up in a. Okay. Let's open up in a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just praise your name. I praise you for your sovereignty, that you're sovereign over everything, that you number the hairs of our heads, you direct our ways, and may we rejoice that you're sovereign over our lives and that we're not sovereign because we're full, and you know what's best for us, O Lord. So I just praise you for that attribute of your sovereignty. I praise you for your mercy and loving kindness, that you're merciful and patient with us, slow to anger, and that you provided a magnificent salvation plan through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that it's a free gift. And I just pray that you'll be with us the rest of this week. Help us glorify you and put you number one in everything that we do this week, and help us have daily devotionals and study the Bible, because the Bible is your word, Lord, and we need not neglect in reading your word and having you communicate to us through your word, and help us communicate to you by praying all day long, as was mentioned earlier today, that we need to pray without ceasing, O Lord. And I just pray we'll be bold to tell others about Jesus. And I pray for the Super Bowl event, that the pastor and others who are out there evangelizing and giving the gospel, that many people may become saved out there in the state of Indiana, and that this may be the best day of their life because of the free gift of salvation that they have received today as a result of the word being preached, as faith cometh by hearing, O Lord. And I just pray that we won't be distracted this week as well, and we won't be distracted this afternoon also while the word is being preached, but give our undivided attention to your word. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to turn to the book of Philippians in the New Testament, the small book of Philippians. So Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7 will be our main text, and we'll look at a lot of other scriptures that relates to this. So in Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, it says there, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." So basically, you know, the world is full of trouble. There's a lot of things that we can be anxious about, basically, in this world, because this is a sin-cursed world, far from being perfect. Well, God created everything perfectly, but Adam and Eve fell, basically, and that's why there's a lot of suffering out there, and lots of troubles. And we can worry about our finances, such as, oh, am I going to be able to pay my bills, and am I going to get what I want? That's one thing we can be anxious about. Another thing we can be anxious about is job security. Basically, oh, how long, what if I get laid off? What will happen then? What if I get another job with lower income than what I'm making right now? And we can be anxious about even our church, for example. We can be anxious about what if there are some divisions in the future that cause this church to split. That's another thing we can be anxious about. And we can be anxious about other people. If we have children, we can be anxious about the direction they're going in, and what's going to happen to them in the future, basically. Are they going to be, are they going to live godly lives? So we are basically like Marthas, basically. If you turn to Luke chapter 10 in the Gospel of Luke, and in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, Jesus is speaking to Martha. And maybe if you go back to verse 40, Luke 10, 40 says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." So Jesus is rebuking Martha here, basically, that Martha was anxious, she's troubled about many things. And we are like that, right? We follow in her footsteps all the time when we're anxious and troubled about so many things, and it distracts us. It often distracts us with giving our undivided attention to God's Word. You know, maybe when we're in church, for example, on Wednesday night or Sunday, we may be anxious about something that's been going on this past week, and our mind is occupied with that the whole time, and we miss out on a lot of things that's said in the sermon. We miss out on having fruitful fellowship with others. And we miss out in having good prayers, like for example on Wednesday night, if our mind is occupied on that while we're in our prayer groups praying, that can be a great distraction, the anxieties. So it does no good, basically, anxiety. What benefit is it? You know, I've learned that in my life, most of it doesn't materialize what I've been anxious about in the past, and it has not done good to be anxious about it. So Matthew 6:27 is the next passage I'm turning to. Okay, let's maybe start Matthew 6:25 here. It says, starting in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now there are several things we can learn from this passage. First of all, you know, I praise God about God's sovereignty. That's a great attribute that God has, and almost every day I praise Him for the attribute of sovereignty. A few years after I became a Christian, I understood the sovereignty of God, that nothing happens by chance out there, that everything is under God's control, basically. And that's why He is sovereign over every one of our lives. There's no exception out there. He's sovereign over even the unsaved people's lives, and the saved also. He's sovereign over all of us, because He is Creator, and He is control. And it says, you know, O ye of little faith. We have little faith when we're anxious, basically, because we're not trusting in God as we should. And we should have faith in God, that strong, childlike faith that God will never leave us nor forsake us if we are true believers. And we should understand that God's will is the best for us. God does what's best for us. He knows what He's doing. Unlike us, because we don't oftentimes know what we're doing, basically. We make plans oftentimes, and oftentimes God changes our plans because He feels that that His direction is best. He leads us in the right direction. So that's one thing we need to understand. This is a passage that that came to home when I first became introduced to Christianity, because you know, I was so afraid of my family members. You know, because before I was a believer, I was afraid, what would my family members think? What would my parents think if I became a Christian? And it says here, you know, this is the verse 33 of Matthew 6 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." People showed me this passage and said, you know, if you put God above everything, He will take care of everything. He'll take care of your physical needs. And just seek first the kingdom. Do what God wants you to do, and everything will be taken care of by God, because He's in control, not us. He is the one that strengthens us through our trials and tribulations. So I want to go now to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. chapter 11. Verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6. So it says there, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So it says here, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the first step of salvation is basically trusting in Jesus for salvation. We need to have faith in Jesus alone for what He has done. We need to have faith that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again from the dead on the third day to pay the penalty for our sins, to pay the equivalent of us spending an eternity in hell. So if we have trusted in Jesus for salvation, we need to also trust in Jesus for other things as well. He's not only our sin bearer, but He's also our burden bearer, the two bearers. The sin bearer, when we trust Him for salvation, we trust that He bore our sins on the cross. And secondly, the burden bearer, after we're saved, we trust in Him to carry all of our burdens. Having that childlike trust that He will take care of our every need because He is sovereign. So we need to keep those things and those two things in mind, Jesus being the sin bearer and the burden bearer. So, not only again for salvation, but also for other necessities of life while we're on this earth. So, Romans 8:28 is the next passage. So, in Romans 8:28 we read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." So this is another passage that speaks to God's sovereignty. It says all things work together for good to them that love God. And God has a purpose for each of our lives. We don't know when we're going to be dying. We didn't make the decision as far as when we're going to be born. God is the one who decides all of that. He has His own purposes. So we need to leave a lot of things in His control. Let Him take care of a lot of things that are going on in our lives, because He is the one that has a purpose for our lives. And 1 Peter 5:7 is what we're going to turn to now. It says in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." So God is our Father. Whenever we're anxious, we can go, whether it's in the middle of the night, in the morning, in the afternoon. As was mentioned earlier today, wherever we're at, whether we're driving in the car, whether we're walking on the street, or whether we're going grocery shopping, we can always pray to God. We can pray in our minds, and oftentimes if we're in a private place, we can pray out loud to God as well, because He cares for us. So if God is our Father and He cares for us, we need to cast all our burdens on Him and pray to Him without ceasing all the time, because God loves us and cares for us. He knows what all our needs are. Even before we pray to Him, He knows what all our needs are. So we need to make sure that we go to God and go to the throne of grace. And Hebrews 4:16 speaks to that. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So that sums up a lot of what we've been talking about. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace, and God is very merciful and gracious. So we can ask Him for the grace in times of trials and tribulations. And you know, at Hebrews 11 we looked at, it talks about a lot of men of faith like Abraham, like Noah, and so many names are mentioned there, those who had faith in God, that God would take care of them. And I wanted to look at an example of Abraham now in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis. We're going to read a little bit about the faith of Abraham. Because, you know, this anxiety and faith, they go to hand in hand, basically. Because if we're anxious, we need to have faith that God will take care of us. And that His will is best for us, that we can, that obeying His commandments are not a burden, basically. If we have faith in God, we see that His will is best, so we obediently, willingly do what He asks us to do. It's not a burden to read the Bible. It's not a burden to pray to Him or to tell others about Jesus or serve Him and put Him number one, because we feel the best, because we're miserable if we do it our own way. If we sin, if we're living in sin, that's misery, basically. We're going to live miserable lives if we do things our own way. So Genesis 22 talks a little bit about Abraham and how he did it God's way instead of his way. And so this is an example we need to follow. Abraham was a great example in the Bible, in the Old Testament. So Genesis 22, starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So we basically learn a couple of things in this passage. It confirms the Hebrews 11 chapter that Abraham was a man of faith. I've been reading, going through the book of Genesis, and I'm in the middle of Genesis right now, and I see a lot about the story of Abraham, how he was a man of God. He believed in God, and he obeyed what God told him. If He told him that the children needed to be circumcised, he went and obeyed, because he knew that God's word was best for him. And here we see a great example in these passages in Genesis 22:1-13, that there's nothing here that indicates Abraham was anxious or worried about what God told him to do, but he went ahead and simply obeyed. But God, that was proof that Abraham was a man of faith. It says in verse 12 again, let's look at that again. It says, And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So it says that Abraham feared God, basically. That's the evidence that Abraham feared God, was that he obeyed what God told him to do. And that's what we need to be. If it says we're not to be anxious in the Bible, if that's a command from God, we need to follow that also, not be anxious. But realize that God is in sovereign control
of our lives. And this is something, the Matthew passage that I mentioned earlier, is a good passage to bring up when we're witnessing to other people and they may be scared or afraid that what would other people think of them. They're being anxious basically when they're asking that type of a question, or they're starting to, you know, have doubts or something like that. You know, if they say, what will their family think? Will I be ostracized from my family? Will I be kicked out of my family? You know, a lot of that is happening in other countries. For example, in India, I know that several people have been beaten by their relatives because they went from Hinduism to Christianity, basically. But they, in faith, went ahead and, you know, became believers because they knew that was the right thing to do. So we should have that attitude in everything. And, you know, speaking on God's sovereignty, that God is sovereign, we can believe that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that we have a perfect Bible here that God has given us and God is communicating to us. Yesterday, before I went to the nursing home, I went out to near the Roosevelt Red Line station to do some witnessing. Is that the best place on planet Earth? I'm just kidding. It's kind of run down. But anyway, I went out near the Roosevelt Red Line station, and one person had a very long conversation with he. I gave him the track, and he says, oh, he believes in God, and gave the track back to me. And I asked him, what church do you go to? And he says, oh, that's not relevant. And I started telling him that Jesus is God. He says, no, he doesn't believe Jesus is God, and tried to make some alibis on that or whatever. And also he said that there are a lot of books missing from the Bible. You know, we don't have a perfect Bible. But I kept telling him, you know, that God has preserved His Word. And he said, wait a minute, you're changing the subject. I'm telling you, you need to do some research on King James on the internet, to Google that. And then when I was trying to tell him also, he needs to research his group, basically. So another thing is, you know, the preservation of God's Word. We can have faith that God has preserved His Word, that there are no books missing from the Bible or anything like that, that this man said, basically. So that's what we need to do. So basically the challenges this week, where we go about our lives, we need to take this sermon to heart and look to men of faith like Abraham and follow his footsteps. You know, we can follow in the footsteps of men of God who follow God and follow their examples. And Abraham is a great example we looked at in Genesis 22. If we have that anxious feeling of what's going to happen, if this and that, you know, because worry won't solve the problem. Of course, we have to plan. I think that's very important. We need to plan. If we're out of work, for example, we're not just to sit around and not do anything about it, but we are to, by God's help, of course, by God strengthening us, we need to make sure we're disciplined and that we get up out of bed on time every day and start the job search and have a plan in mind to do that, because God won't bless it if we're lazy. You know, not worrying does not mean being lazy, basically. That doesn't go hand in hand, laziness and lack of anxiety. The attitude we should have is, when we get up every morning, is that God is sovereign in my life, so I know that I'm going to pray to Him about everything that's going, and at the same time, I'm going to take initiatives today to do what God is asking me to do. He wants me to carry up my cross today. He wants me to deny myself today, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor God, and at the same time trust that God will take care of all of my needs as I go about my day honoring Him. So that's the attitude we need to have, basically. So that's basically the sermon I had here on anxiety and worrying, and I'm going to close out in a word of prayer here. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I just praise Your name. I just thank You so much for all that You've done. I praise You again for Your attribute of sovereignty, that You're merciful and You're very kind, that You look out after our souls, and that You care about everything we do, and You know our needs before we even ask of them. Help us, Lord, this week to pray without ceasing, to get into that mode of prayer and talk to You as You're our Father and call You Abba Father, O Lord. And help us follow the example of Abraham, that Abraham was a man of faith, and we should also be men of faith, basically, as Abraham was, and obeying Your commandments and seeking first the kingdom, realizing that everything else will be added unto us if we seek first the kingdom of God. And I just pray we'll be bold in sharing the gospel with others and maybe bringing up some of these passages we talked about today to others who may be in the predicament that their family members may ostracize them if they become true believers. Help us, give us a passage to them indicating, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things shall be given to you. And I pray all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.